Wake up call!
This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
A Gal Media property. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right! It is Wake Up Call, SB Nation Radio. Congratulations to the NBA for putting together a deal. For putting together something that is now going to be bringing their sport back into existence. But think about the team that is going to benefit from this the most is the team that is not even going to go. Here's what it is. The NBA is going to be bringing 22 teams into existence. They are going to have a playoff. They're going to extend it all the way through to October. The regular season for next year is going to be around December. You know who benefits from this in a big way? Golden State. Golden State. They don't have to go to Orlando. Their season is over. They're going to be in the lottery, likely to get a top five pick. They're going to be very healthy going into next season. And next season is miles away on the calendar right now. So they're even going to be more healthy when they get together. It's fascinating to me that Golden State could just take this year off due to injury and come back even stronger than ever before. They'll have money to spend because of the Andre Iguodala contract that they got rid of. They're going to have a top five pick in the draft. They're going to have a healthy Steph Curry. They're going to have a healthy Klay Thompson, Draymond Green. They still have Steve Kerr at the helm. It's and again, they don't have to go to Orlando to be part of this tournament, which, again, I would want to be part of this. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that everybody who's going to Orlando is at a disadvantage because, you know, teams are going to be playing for the championship. But at the same time, they're going to be in a position where they're going to go, hey, we've got plenty of time to regroup and come back together and come back for the season that's going to be starting in December stronger than ever before. And that is just one of the thoughts as we go into this play in late July of all of these teams. Watch out again, Golden State kicking around next season. All right, we'll continue to look at this plan to come back to the NBA. And those who are going to participate, what does that mean? Coming up, it is Wake Up Call, SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Call, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, again, thanks for joining us. It is Wake Up Call on SB Nation Radio as we continue this morning. So the NBA going to Orlando, it's a plan that was approved 29-1 by the Board of Governors. So, I look, it's something, and I think it's going to be cool. I do. I am a little concerned. There is some concern about, all right, what does happen if there is an outbreak of the coronavirus? It's not just one or two players. You know, what if a whole team, what if a team has seven players that test positive for it? What happens? What happens if there is an outbreak throughout much of the season? I know that we're going to have these concerns with sports, but I think we have to cross that bridge when we get there. I mean, to say, what if the worst scenario happens is always going to be something that everybody who's putting any plan in place should be thinking about. All right, when you're putting in something new and you say, okay, what's the worst that can happen here? You do want to think about those things. Being in radio as long as I have, we've always come up with promotions. You know, we've always been part of this promotional, we're going to do this game or we're going to be on site for this. And, you know, one of the questions we always ask in those meetings is, what's the worst that can happen? How could this go really, really wrong for us? So you always want to have those questions. And I'm sure the NBA thought the same thing. You know, what if the entire Philadelphia 76ers team has coronavirus? I mean, what do we do? You know, what if LeBron has coronavirus, right? I mean, and Giannis gets coronavirus and he can't play. I mean, how is it going to affect the product? How is it going to affect what we're delivering? I mean, what would it look like if a number of our star players got coronavirus? It's not to say that those who aren't stars aren't significant, but when you think about what they're trying to present to the sporting America, you know, what if the stars didn't have it? It's sort of this hit you in the face reminder that this virus is still around. But I think in the end, the NBA should be saying, look, we're going to do everything we possibly can to try to minimize that. We know that that's still a possibility. We know that that could happen. But if it does happen, you know what? We'll figure it out when we get there. I think the idea is to celebrate the fact that this sport is coming back in this capacity. And I think that's important because players want it. Obviously, owners want it. I think the America wants some of its athletics back, some of its sports back. This is a way to do it. So I am at a point where any plan to me is fine. I know that the details can be debated, and I think that the smaller details can be ironed out. But overall, come late July, even if it's at these Disney arenas where there's no fans and it doesn't look the same and it doesn't feel the same and the champion is crowned and there is no confetti and celebrations and people dancing in the streets or whatnot, they're still going to feel like we went through a journey together, right? These playoffs are going to still be seven games and we're still going to be able to watch teams go up and down, in going through that process, right? You know, a team struggles, but then they find a way to get their rhythm back, et cetera, et cetera. We're going to be talking about those kind of issues. That to me is really important. I think it's going to be great. If you have a sidebar of there's an outbreak, coronavirus, it's hitting these teams. Well, yeah, that's a damper on the effect. But you know what? It still doesn't change the fact that we need this back in this capacity, even with the danger of something breaking out.
I mean, the risk is worth the reward.
Of course, yeah.
And that's the way you got to look at it right now. I mean, with anything, you could be saying anything about that. We've had incidences in the past where, the flu went through the clubhouse.
Right.
I mean, it's the same thing. I mean, yeah, more highly contagious than other diseases or other flus that we've had in the past. But it's, like you said, cross that bridge when we get there.
We will. I think that's important. I think let's just do that when we, if that happens. If that happens, let the NBA try to figure it out on the fly. Or there's a plan in place. I mean, they know. But I'm not talking about one or two players. I'm like if a team has to be shut down, well, they'll figure it out. But they're not gonna throw the baby out with the bathwater, to use that cliche. They're not gonna consider this a massive failure if the Sixers are out because five of their players or seven of their players have coronavirus, right? Or whatever. And then they've got to quarantine the other players on the team. I think you just continue along.
Yeah. But is it a bigger fear if we see, like the main stars go down? Like, say it's the Lakers, right? Say, they're one of the favorites to win the NBA Finals. But if LeBron and Anthony Davis go down,
yeah, that's true.
All of a sudden, the Lakers they're no better than the Warriors.
Do you really want to be, like, that's the one thing. Well, do you really want the history books to say, the NBA, the Boston Celtics were crowned NBA championships in 2020. Part of this journey was LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and Giannis Antetokounmpo tested positive for coronavirus that was plaguing the country in that year, right? I mean, is that what,
yeah.
Well, 30 years from now, is that how we want to remember these finals?
I don't even think 30 years from now is enough time for us to have to say something about 2020.
Right. But you know,
2020
what I mean?
Like, is just going to go down as one of those years.
But do we want the history books to sort of remind us that there was this virus and the virus plagued the NBA playoffs, right? The virus got to the teams that were not quarantined, but in a bubble at Disney World, but it got to them and it disrupted the playoffs by taking this player out, this player out, this player out, this player out. And in the end, the Celtics were champions or the Clippers were champions, right? I mean, is that, No, that's a nightmare for Adam Silver. The biggest nightmare for Adam Silver is all these teams go to Disney World and a massive outbreak of the virus occurs and all these players get it and it's shut down and it's sloppy and nobody knows what's, you know.
Well, I mean, if that happens, you know, I mean, the NBA was kind of the catalyst last time. But I mean, if that is to happen, all the other sports can be like, you know, it's not worth it.
Right. Exactly.
Except football.
Exactly.
So, football's going to go on no matter what. I'm like, whatever. We got helmets.
Right. Got it.
Yeah, you told us we had to wear a face mask in public, right? We got them.
Right, we got them. So, you know, to me, again, I think I'm with you. I think the risk outweighs the reward. And I think in the end, even if you run into the big catastrophic mess that could occur with this, I still think the NBA can stand and say, well, you know what? It didn't work out the way we wanted, but we had to try. We could not be operating in fear of the what if the what if was, you know, if we felt like the percentages were on our side to manage this. And we felt like even if it's 65% that we could do this without a real hiccup, it was well worth the gamble. Rather than, yeah, there's that 35% we feel like where this could be entirely disrupted, so we just did not come back at all. And I know that there have been critics of this. There are people who said, you know what, don't come back. It doesn't feel right. It shouldn't. But you know what? I never got their argument. I never understood why. I never understood, you know, if you are working with your union and everybody's on board and you're not forcing people to do this. They have said, even in the plan, they have said, if you're a player and you don't want to go, they're not making you go. There's no breach of contract or anything like that. If you're under contract to play for the Sixers and you don't feel like going to this, if you feel uncomfortable going to this, you don't have to go to this. And that's not going to affect your status within the organization or the league. It's not showing up for duty. We can now null and void your contract because you didn't show up for work. All those things are in play if you're under contract under normal conditions and you don't show up for work. That's not going to affect you. You know, it's not going to affect you in terms of time served and any of those type of things. If you were scheduled to be a free agent, you'll be a free agent. You'll get your year. You'll get your year of service. You don't have to close out this year. They're being very gracious with that and saying, if you don't want to go, you don't have to go. You know, that's up to each individual player. And we're not punishing you at all if you don't go. But we have cooperation with the union, LeBron, and we have cooperation with everybody that's dealing with this. We're all on the same page. We'll go give it a try. You know? And I haven't heard it. The only outcry I've heard on this is Damian Lillard going, I don't want to go to play in meaningless games. That's it. He's not saying he wouldn't go.
Yeah, and
he actually said he would go and sit on the bench, but he didn't want to play in meaningless games.
And that made all the sense in the world.
Absolutely.
Because he wants to make sure. I mean, if he's going to gear up and get everything going, but, you know, they're just playing pickup games and have no chance of making the playoffs, and there is no point. But now, you know, it looks like, hey, there's a situation where, you know, the game, every game does count.
Yep, exactly. Now, listen, it's not quite the same because you're only talking about a day, but sometimes the PGA Tour will have a rain out on Sunday, but they'll be on the course and then lightning and thunder will come and then they all have to stay the night and then they have to go back on the course the next day. Some golfers are going to play 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 holes. Some are going to play 2 and then they're done, mm-hmm. Right? And some are going to go, they got to stay overnight, they got to wake up the next morning, they got to go to the course, they got to warm up, and then they got to be shuttled to their place where they left off, and then they got to play 2 holes, and then they get to go home, right? In this case, if you're Damian Lillard, yeah, you don't want to get on a plane after 2 months off, warm up, get yourself into game shape to play 4 meaningless basketball games or whatever it is, and then go home back to Portland. You'd rather just stay in Portland, right? You'd rather just be like, why am I doing this? No, I'd rather not. So they made it so that everyone that's going has something to play for. They made it so that anybody that's going to this, it's the ball's in your court.
Yeah. Right, conceivably, you can win. You can be the NBA champion.
Go, right? You're not going here. If it doesn't work out and you finish out the regular season and you didn't make the tournament, you were given an opportunity, and that's all we can promise. So even though you spent weeks getting into game shape and that game shape only allowed you to play 4 or 5 games, like the golfer that has to return on a Monday to play 2 holes, well, at least we gave you a chance. We gave you a chance to see how the ball bounces and you may get into this postseason or not. but we didn't bring you here so you can play four games knowing from day one it was meaningless, knowing from day one you didn't have to do it. And I think that was important. And I'm glad they did it. Portland was the only team that voted against us because they wanted less teams. They actually wanted to make it more viable for them to make the postseason.
Of course.
So, of course.
But you want to give yourself the best odds. And they probably figured, well, you know what? There's four other teams in this. You know, if we do 20, they might vote for us, vote on our side.
Exactly. So
either that or they played the role of nothing is unanimous guy.
Right, exactly. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's as we continue. It is Friday on Wake Up Call, SB Nation Radio.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It is Wake Up Call, SB Nation Radio. Tony D, Ron Culver, and that's where you can find us on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. Glad you could be with us as we can get into the weekend. When your battery goes dead, everything can come to a stop. Don't take a chance on getting stranded. O'Reilly Auto Parts will test your battery free of charge. If your battery needs to be replaced, O'Reilly Auto Parts can help you find the exact battery that fits your car or truck at a guaranteed low price. Keep your car on the road by getting your battery tested for free at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. So I would never, ever really talk about this because it's kind of, you know, it's boring, but it's not boring in the age of quarantine. I got a haircut yesterday. Now, any other time that we would have done this, I would have been like, well, who cares? You got a haircut. But I thought it's finally going to happen. I'm finally going to sit in a chair and get my haircut post quarantine. And I had gotten a buzz during the quarantine. My wife just shaved off my hair in like March. And it was kind of growing like long in the back and sideways, and it looked terrible. I finally got it trimmed up. But when I went, it was weird. When I went, you have to check in. And then when you check in, you check in online. And then you go there, and then they say, okay, great, you're checked in. We'll yell for you outside. Like, they go outside, and they yell for you. You're in your car, and then you go in, and you get taken care of. Well, when I went, luckily, I timed it right, so I checked in online, and then when I walked in, I didn't need to wait out in my car. The woman who was cutting my hair had a big face shield on, and I thought, this will probably be
like
reality
welders?
For a while. Yeah, like a welder's face shield. Like, she had a face shield on, and I thought, this is probably going to be the reality for quite a while, that they'll be doing this.
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah.
You know? That's... I had to wear a mask, and she cut my hair with a face shield. There was going to be no coronavirus between us. None whatsoever.
How was the conversation?
It was very interesting. Like,
was
like,
there any?
Yeah, there was. She was, you know, she was. Well, first of all, she asked me because my hair was like, she asked me how I wanted the haircut. And I said, look, right now it's a disaster, right? As you can see. I said, I had it just basically pretty much shaved down. Got a quarantine buzz back in March. I think I got it like the second week, like probably towards the end, beginning of April. And I said, so it's growing back, but it's not growing back in a consistent way. Like, you can see it's long here and short here and messy here.
Kind of like my backyard.
Yeah. And she was, yeah, exactly. Like, imagine if you cut, like, your yard was half cut and then you just let one side of it grow for a month and another side you let grow for 2 weeks. So you had these different varieties of length of grass. That was my hair. And so she was like, no, I got it. I can take care of it. You know, she did that. But, you know, she asked me, basically what, you know, how was quarantine? Did, you know, all that kind of stuff. We had a nice little conversation, but I asked her about her business. I said, you know, you guys were shut down. Now you're coming back. I said, it's got to be incredibly busy all the time. She goes, every day, no matter what, yeah. We have just every day. It doesn't matter. She goes, when it used to be like Wednesday afternoons, you could just walk in and just sit right down and get your hair cut. Now we're 20, 30, 40, sometimes over an hour wait. No matter what day of the week it is, no matter what time it is. You know, luckily I caught within a half an hour. I had a half an hour wait.
Not only that, but, you know, I would imagine if you said, I'll get it taken care of this weekend.
Right, yeah.
Saturday and Sunday must just be absolutely insane.
Insane, yeah. Crazy. Imagine sitting in your car for like an hour waiting to get a haircut. So it was just, you know, I find, it's just me. I mean, I find businesses – coming back and figuring out how to come back. I find it fascinating because I think there's some ingenuity in, you know, we were kind of touching on this all morning, which is here was the NBA trying to figure out how do we come back? And here's all these weird different ways we can come back. Baseball, same thing, you know, they're fighting over money. NHL went, we're going right to the playoffs, no regular season. We're going to do it at two hub cities. There's a level of ingenuity that is taking place with these industries about we're going to do this, but we're going to do this in a different way. Like casinos. Have you seen these poker tables now where you're basically in a glass, plexiglass cube?
You're an aquarium.
Yeah. Like you sit down at a poker table and you're just it's all plexiglass. You're just basically it reminds me of those like game shows where they're like, we've put Bob in an isolation booth while his wife Susan gives all the answers. Can he guess the answers that she gave? And they show him with the headphones on and he's in this glass booth. That's what when I see these shots from the casinos, that's what it reminds me of. Like, you just walk in, like, to go play blackjack. Now you're just going to sit at a table where, you know. But think about how quickly those industries figured out how to do it and then went out and found somebody to make that stuff so they can put it in play. Like, somebody went, look, we want to obviously have poker back when we're back, right? Yeah. But we all can't stand around and be next to each other. Okay, what can we do? Well, we could build these plexiglass walls. Like, find a company that can design it and make it readily available for us so we can buy in bulk for all our poker tables at all the casinos that we own.
Have you seen any photos of what they're going to be doing with slot machines?
That's a good question. I never thought about that. What are you going to do with slot machines?
I mean, I guess you could put ropes around every other one.
True.
Because I mean, where I've seen that where, God, where was I the other day? It was someplace where you can order food from a screen, and they had like every other one closed.
Yeah,
or like if you go to the self-checkout, there are certain stores where you go to self-checkout. Every other self-checkout thing is closed. So that way it's social distancing.
Yeah,
but I just wonder about slot machines because it's Vegas. Vegas, I mean, obviously Vegas is hurting for money. I don't know if we talked about it on this show, but there was a stat Darren Rovell had put out the other day that like in the month of April, Vegas casinos made like a total of $9 million.
Oh, wow.
And in, taking that same month span of previous year, they had made $394 million.
So they made $9 million when they normally make over $300 million?
Almost nearly $400 million.
Oh, nearly $400 million.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So, I mean, they're hurting. Yep. They probably don't want a machine to be down doing nothing.
No, not at all. But what you need is you need to go find all the grandmas who take up three machines at the same time.
And allow them to do it.
Yeah, and just go. And when, say, so here, when you
put
go
this
up
around
to it,
you.
And you're like, oh, look, double diamonds. This is one of my favorites. And I was like, I got that. I'm playing three at once. Here, you can't. And you're like, all right, I'll find another one. So, yeah, that's what you need. You need to find those women that are like, no, I got the social distancing down to a science. I've been doing that for 30 years, playing at my local casino.
Just peeing in my seat. That's how I keep them away.
Exactly.
That's a real thing, by the way.
Peeing in the seat?
Yeah.
Just letting you know. It's what they do?
Yeah. In a previous life, I did advertising for a casino. And that was one of the things that you would hear from security guards from time to time. Like, yeah, you know, because if they're on a hot hand, especially with the olds, the blue hairs, they don't get up.
They don't get up.
They just keep playing that hot hand and they just let it go.
I brought this up to a friend of mine a couple months ago. I said, you know, do you realize like the adult diaper industry, it never became what it could have been. Like, people should have been like, yeah, I love it. I just, you know, wherever I'm at, I just go. But there's so much stigma attached to it.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, like, yeah, you could be like, nah, man, I love it. I wear them. I'm playing golf. I don't have time to run. I just go. Or I'm out at a casino and I don't want to give up from a hot hand. I just go. And then I go change them out. It's fantastic. Like a baby. But it's never reached that point, right? Where soiling yourself is just socially acceptable.
Still taboo.
Still taboo. So I understand why they would do that. They would just go, look, I'm not leaving this machine. I mean, Lord knows. I mean, anybody who's ever been in a casino has had one moment, right, where leaving the table is a dumb idea. Like at a hot blackjack table or a craps table. But I've never went, bathroom or chips, and chose chips. I've never gone down that road. God bless them if that's what they if that's what they're doing. It's Wake Up Call, SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Call, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It is Wake Up Call, SB Nation Radio on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's. Robert on Twitter, 2020 scenario where Cinderella team wins the title. That team adapts to the vanilla surroundings and plays with a passion. I attend on average two NBA games a year. My observation is the show is bigger than the game with no dancers, dog, and pony acts. How will it look? I agree, Robert, in that regard. I think the atmosphere is going to be missing. I think you'll notice it. The cheerleaders and no acts for people. But because it's just the game, it's there's no fans to entertain it during timeouts or anything like that. It's just going to be the game. It is going to have a different look, but on television, I think it should be pretty much the same. I just don't think you'll have the roar of the crowd is a big deal. I think what makes like Kawhi Leonard's shot, for example, last year against the Sixers, where it's bouncing on the rim and it goes in, was just the elation of the crowd, that just the enormity of the moment. It was just captivated by the audience. It was, and the screaming, that being absent is just going to be so tough. The first game winning shot is just, we talked about this in March with the NCAA tournament. Remember, part of the appeal of the NCAA yep. tournament is these small Cinderella schools that get their upset or two, and the atmosphere at the arenas where the crowd who doesn't go to that school, doesn't have any ties to that school, just happen to be there because they're rooting for somebody else, or they got a ticket because it's a local event thing. They just gravitate to that school late in the game. They're like, yeah, we're all about Bucknell beating up on Kansas. Woo! And then Bucknell's, coming down the stretch in the final minute or two, and the place is going nuts because they're finally going to see a big upset. That atmosphere was going to be gone when the fans were taken out of the equation. Same thing here. The fans being taken out of the equation, it's going to feel weird. It's going to be different. It's just something we unfortunately have to have.
So, no beat LA chance or airball chance?
None of that. None of that whatsoever. So, one other thing it is that coronavirus is going to hit us with. This is a mostly an inside our industry kind of thing, but I wonder how fans would get impacted at all. Is Major League Baseball is saying when we do come back, the announcers for those teams will not be on the road with the teams. They're going to be watching them on a monitor at TV and basically broadcasting from television. Like basically they're kind of doing now. ESPN is doing that with the Korean baseball. Anything that has occurred has been had where like NASCAR and all this other stuff had
soccer
to be done remotely.
Okay. Well, yeah. What do you think of, what was it? I think it was a Dutch league team or a Belgium league team. They had a big video screens along the sideline. Have you seen this?
No.
They have gigantic video screens. Huge, huge video screens going along the sideline. And it's for the super fans. And so basically, it's each one of these. Maybe they have a Zoom account or something like that they log into. And they're able to watch the game from that perspective of the field.
Oh, I got you. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, that's kind of neat.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to regulate, I guess. They've already had a few incidences.
Yeah. That's kind of neat.
But you hear, I mean, you
that's
see people.
That's kind of a cool way to do it.
Yeah, all you see is like when you're playing. I mean, it could be somewhat distracting, though, because all you see is a big face.
Right.
A big head. Right. I'll see if I can find something, and I'll send it to you.
Well, you know, look, one of the things, okay, look. A radio broadcast team or a television broadcast team that has to call a game via remotely, have to do it from like a studio back in the hometown, I don't think that's going to affect the average fan as much, right? I think the guys who do it are professional enough to be able to do that in that particular way. You're talking about some of the best announcers who can really adapt on the fly. So if you've got like the Minnesota Twins broadcast team and they have to be in Minnesota while the Twins are playing the Royals in Kansas City, I don't think it's all that difficult to call a baseball game from a television monitor than if you were live at the game. You know what I am curious about, and this has been brought up in articles that have been written about this sort of dilemma, is, okay, that may not affect the average fan. What about the reporter that covers the team on a daily basis? It's the beat person that is traveling with the team on a daily basis. How much the average fan wants to know what's going on with his team, wants to know about a particular injury, wants to know about a particular flare-up or a disagreement or why somebody was taken out of the batting order or why somebody was benched. Any of those inside stories that you want to know about your team, we may be living in an environment where the beat reporter doesn't have the kind of access now that he used to have. You know, look, when I was in Colorado, I worked for a radio station as a sports director, but I also freelanced and wrote articles about the Rockies. And so I would go into one of the agreements that I had with another writer was I would go to the visiting locker room and he would go to the home locker room and we would trade quotes. So that was, you know, he worked for the local newspaper, so the Rockies angle was more important than me. I was doing a national service, so for me to go in and get Tony La Russa's comments on the Cardinals was just as important to my story as going in to get Todd Helton. So I would go into the visitor locker room all the time, and I found that a more fascinating way to do it because I got to see all the teams and all the different players, and I could go to the Rockies locker room anytime I wanted to. But one of the things that I noticed very quickly as a young reporter doing that was the relationship that the players had with traveling media. You would see it all the time, right? You would be in a locker room and you would be waiting for, let's say, I don't know, Josh Beckett of the Marlins to come out of the shower and give an interview, right? And you'd be standing there and Beckett would walk by, or any player, it doesn't matter, any player, John Schmoltz, Randy Johnson, back in the day when I was covering the team, they would walk by a group of reporters and they would go, "Hey, Bob, I wanted to send that thing to your colleague," or whatever. Like they would talk personally. They would have like personal conversations with the beat writers. One guy would say like, "Oh, how's your wife doing? I know she had surgery the other day." And it's like, "Oh, she's doing great. Oh, thanks. We really appreciate it. Yeah, Debbie and I want to send our love." Like there was this personal relationship that you would get with the athlete and the traveling media. Why is that important to the average fan? That's important because sometimes these guys would be sitting in their locker room late. They want to, you know, they're late to the shower. They just want to hang out a little bit longer. And they would go, "You know what drives me crazy, man? I'm telling you right now, that kid over there on the Rockies, he flipped me off when he was running past second base just for no reason at all. I just said something to him and he flipped me off and I was ready to kill him. I don't know where these kids get the nerve to do that." They're doing it in a comfortable environment. There's a level of comfort that these players get with these beat writers. And next thing you know, you've got a story. Next thing you know, you've got something where there's a little bit of a scoop. The average fan benefits from that because, you know, they're trying to keep up with their team and they're trying to keep up with the stories on the team. Traveling media is a big deal. It's more than just getting quotes in a locker room and writing a story. It's more than just getting some cliched quotes and writing a story. It's part of there's a relationship that gets built. And that's the aspect of sports reporting that I think is going to be really affected by the coronavirus. Broadcasters giving you the game, they'll give you the game. That's what's going to happen. There's not going to be any broadcasters in Orlando doing these. They're going to be doing remote. I'm not 100% sure of that, but I got to think they're limiting this thing as much as they possibly can. In fact, they've told the teams you can only bring so many people, you know, so many coaches, so many assistant coaches, so many trainers. You can't bring your whole organization to Florida for this tournament. You can't bring family. So do you think that they're going to let, all these broadcast crews down there? No, they're going to have one feed, one closed circuit feed, and you're going to be broadcasting these games from your studio, wherever you're going to be, yep, in whatever town you live in.
It'll be like the Olympics or World Cup soccer.
Right.
Everyone gets the one feed, and then it's however you want to use that one feed, that's your call.
And I'm telling you, one of the things about this is that if I'm a play-by-play announcer for any team, I don't care, NHL, NBA, whatever, I think this is my new reality for a while.
Yeah.
Is my new reality for a while. And I'm telling you right now, when you're talking about these organizations that are going to be starting to look, when we come back to normal, that does not mean that these organizations are going to be run normally, right? There's going to be cuts that are permanent within these basketball teams, baseball teams, or whatever. They're going to trim down. They're going to consolidate job duties. And even though it's not a huge part of the budget, but sending a broadcast crew all around the country to all these hotels, these, you know, even on charter flights, whatever, I guarantee you they're going to look at that those numbers and they're going to go, you know what? It may be a drop in the bucket to our overall budget, but it's a drop in the bucket nonetheless. We're going to keep these guys at home. And I wonder if that's their new reality. So no more of these, no more being on these 2 week road trips with the team. You're going to be doing these games from home and you limit the access.
Yeah.
You limit the access and you will not know your team as you will only know your team as well as the home games will allow you to know them.
I mean, that's kind of the catch-22 with this virus.
Yep.
Is that we learned very quickly what jobs you can do effectively from home. People got laid off, which meant, hey, that job just doesn't disappear. You're now assuming that job. And like you said, I mean, I think there's going to be new development. We don't have to send broadcasters all over the place. We still need them.
We still need
the team to have their own broadcaster. But maybe it's a, maybe that's here. Here's some money to build a studio in your home.
Yep.
Or, we now are building a studio, our training facility. So that's where you're going to go and broadcast the game. And it happens all the time.
It does. And so if you're a young broadcaster going to Syracuse or Fordham or these other good broadcasting colleges or any school that has a broadcasting department, and you want to be a play-by-play voice, you're going to start learn how to call a game properly with the television monitor. Right, which was what you're going to do anyway with TV, because when Joe Buck and those guys call games, most of that they're watching the game, but they're also they have to tell you what you see.
Yeah,
right. So that they get a feed of what the viewer is. That's why when you see a shot of Brett Favre on the sidelines, that's why Buck goes and there's Brett Favre. He's just waiting to get into the game, right? And the only reason, why I brought that up? Because I just saw them broadcast a replay of a Packers game from 2004. That was like 2 days ago. So that's what they show you. And they comment on what you're seeing on your screen. So you do have to learn how to do that. But even as a radio broadcaster, where you're calling what you're seeing with your eyes, you're now going to do it from a monitor. So, a lot of that, that's going to be the new way to train. But I'm curious of what, because look, I'm a subscriber to The Athletic. I pay my yearly fee to The Athletic. I think it's some great reporting. What am I buying next year? Like, what am I buying for this upcoming year? How much in-depth coverage am I going to get from the college programs and the professional programs of the teams I really like and follow? And even on, how many of these people are going to be in the locker room at practice talking on a daily basis like they used to? Zero, right? Hardly anybody. They have to cover the games in a different way. They have to cover the teams in a completely different way. And I don't know if that's good. I don't know if that's going to be good, but it is unfortunately what it has to be, because that's what if you're a team, you are not going to just open the locker room to 70 reporters that are just going to pour in. You know what I was thinking about too? Like the Super Bowl, the big, yeah, everybody, hey, welcome to the Super Bowl. Those media day moments where we get in arenas and you got these players sitting and 100 people are surrounding them. Are those, is the last one we had the last one we're going to have?
Let's just wait. That's a far off thing to talk about later.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, still, if you're the NFL, do you go, I'm not going to let 500 reporters from around the world descend on our players in a closed stadium, a closed arena?
I mean, let's face it. If that was today, if the Super Bowl was a month from now, that media day is canceled.
Yeah, that media day doesn't happen. They do it virtual, right? So, I don't know. It's just one of those coronavirus things, man. I hope not, because I think part of the joy of doing this for a living and for the young guys that are coming up is going to games, attending games, being part of the atmosphere, being part of the excitement. It would be a hard thing to give up if you had to give it up. For the near future and see if it ever comes back. It would be hard. All right, it's Wake Up Call. It's SB Nation Radio.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, I forgot to get this in earlier, so we'll get it in now. This was from Wednesday at Belmont Racetrack, and this horse racing call just encapsulates 2020.
The two of them are stride for stride. They've got three lengths on Indoctrinate in third. Garoppolo is down towards the inside in fourth, and Teresa is fifth. Fauci on the outside and Prisoner on the inside as the two of them hit the quarter pole. And it is Fauci who has a head in front. Prisoner continues to battle on the inside. Indoctrinate in third. Prisoner is prevailing here with an eighth of a mile to the finish. Fauci on the outside runs in second. Now a 16th out, and Prisoner has opened up. Prisoner will win his debut going away. Prisoner took no prisoners today, won by 4.5 lengths. Fauci was second.
A good social distance away. I like that. Indoctrinate was third?
Yeah.
That's awesome. It's awesome. You were telling me some of the horsing names?
Yeah, some of the horsing names that have been registered with the jockey club.
Herd Immunity is a fantastic name for a horse.
That's yeah.
I don't know. I love that.
I like Flatten the Curve because my...
Flatten the Curve is a good name.
What was it? My wife's grandfather, he used to bet on horses. He used to say, you know, choose three-worded horses. Or horses with three words in their names. Yeah.
I got to be honest with you. I know they say that they're kind of a money pit, but if I had, you know, Mama Don't Know money, a lot of, I would get into, I would own a racehorse.
Oh, definitely.
Own a racehorse.
I would put all in on Dr. Fauci.
Exactly. I wouldn't care if it cost me money every year. If I had the kind of sloppy wealth that it would take, I would totally get into that just for fun. I think it would be great.